Romans 8:14 and 16. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they what? They're the sons of God. In other words, sons of God have a right to be led by the Spirit of God. In fact, not only do you have a right, the Spirit of God is in you, leading you. Amen. You don't have to pray for him to bear witness with your spirit. He's already doing that. Now, your job is to find out what he's witnessing with you. And then verse 16 says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit, not our flesh, not our feelings, not our mind, not our emotions, but with our spirit that we are the children of God, right? His spirit bears witness with us, with our spirits, we're the children of God, and of children then heirs. So he'll guide you as a child of God. He'll guide you into your inheritance. Now that's a big subject. That includes everything in Christ. He'll guide you concerning all those things. I challenge any believer to look me in the face, and that's born again, real, truly born again, lives, the Holy Ghost lives inside of them. Look me in the face and say, that healing stuff has passed away, and not be challenged down in their spirit. By the Holy Ghost bearing witness with them, you know, a lot of things the Holy Ghost is trying to lead them into it, but we have to learn to turn and pay attention to that, right? All right, so we believe in this, right? We believe in being led by the Holy Ghost. I believe in being led by the Holy Ghost. It's saved my bacon many times, and it's also greatly blessed our lives. Lord told Brother Hagin, he said, "You learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich." And he was quite challenged by that at the time because of his thinking, his Pentecostal denominational thinking at that time, couldn't imagine that Jesus would say something like that. But he said, "You learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich." And Brother Hagin, you know, found it in the Word, and God, Jesus talked to him, taught him about it, and he started following the Holy Ghost, and the Lord made him rich. That doesn't mean he was a multi-billionaire, but that means he had a full supply. Rich means full supply. Need, boom, there. Supply fixed the need, right? Just like that. So anyway, that's we believe in this, right? We believe in being led by the Spirit. Do we? It's scriptural, right? To be led. Believers, New Testament believers aren't led by their mind. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a mind and there's not a lot of things that we make decisions based on our mind. You know, you understand what we're talking about. But major decisions, we don't just follow our intellect. You know, where do I live? Who do I marry? Where do I go to church? And things like that. You start learning to develop your spirit, the Holy Ghost will guide you in even minute details of life. Amen. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Just the other day, I was just thinking about this the other day. Monday morning, I think it was, I woke up. I was just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me of something that I had forgotten that I needed to do. I hadn't written it down. Normally, I wrote it down. I write those things down. But he just reminded me, and I thought, oh, my God, Jesus, that was you just reminded me. It saved me a lot of trouble. Not missing that.
Amen.
Just the minute details. But he'll guide you in the minute details of life. Praise the Lord. We're not like the world guessing and going, I hope this is it. No, we should know. We have an unction and we know, right?
Amen.
So we believe in being led by the Spirit?
Yes.
Do we?
Yes.
Is it scriptural?
Yes.
Yes. Are we right to follow the inner witness whenever our intellects don't quite understand the witness of the Spirit? Now, we're not talking about just living, not making sense. We're talking about anything that maybe we planned to do and our mind had figured this is the right thing to do and we don't have peace about it down in here. I'm not talking about just living to where we just live irrationally. But there are things, you know, that once you go to do, the Spirit of God will bear witness with you. No, I don't want you to do it that way.
Right.
And what he does bear witness with you to do doesn't seem rational. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Not just living irrationally, but whenever there's something in you that is not letting you go a direction that made sense rationally. And he's leading you to go another way. Somebody said, well, that doesn't make sense that's not rational going that direction.
Right.
But if you'll follow the witness and not let your mind override the witness of the Spirit, it'll turn out to be the most smart thing you ever did.
Yes.
Now, that's not good English, but it does get the point across.
Yes, amen.
Be the smartest thing you ever did.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've watched that happen in Pastor Debbie and I's life over and over again. But anyway, so we believe in this.
Yes, sir.
Do we believe in this?
Yes.
Is it scriptural?
Yes.
Is it right to follow this?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, yes, yes. And so we believe in it on paper, but in practice, it's a totally different thing. I haven't got a chance to listen to it yet, but Brother Carlos preached on this last Wednesday night. And so, and I'm sure it was good. I just haven't got a chance to listen. So I don't know if I'm repeating everything he said, because normally if he's preaching, he's repeating everything I'm saying. but somebody said he shouldn't do that. Oh yeah, he should. But anyway, I remember one time going into a pastor's home, not his home, his office. And this pastor wasn't quite of the flow or the flavor of that our ministry was in. But one of their congregation members had come to healing school. We were there in Kenneth Hagin Ministries Healing School. They had come and gotten healed. And they went back testifying, healed of cancer. Well, okay, I see results here. And their pastor, this lady prevailed on her pastor. I'm not saying you should do this, but she did. She prevailed on him to have us come. So we came, and he was sort of like, okay, he's a little cautious about us, because he had heard about us kind. So I said to her, because Debbie grew up in this group. Pentecostal group kind of people that we're preaching for. And so I said to her, I said, sometimes sometimes they really receive the message. They just don't like certain terms we use. I said, what are the terms they don't like?
Yeah, yeah.
And she told me, and I said, all right, I won't use those terms tonight. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm trying to help them. I'm not trying to make them mad. I'm trying to help them.
Yes.
So I said, okay, I won't use those terms tonight. And I went in there and I preached on, I believe it was James 5, 14, 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And the prayer of faith. Remember that? The prayer of faith. And I just talked about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? Prayer of faith is a prayer that believes it receives when it prays.
Yes.
And you know, those people, although, in their minds, they're thinking that we don't necessarily agree with this kind.
Uh-huh.
Me, us. But I got them shouting and jumping over the seats on James 5, 14 and 15. I tell you the truth. By the end of that service, they were shouting, and some of them I saw them jumping over the seats. Hallelujah. Afterwards, I'm sitting in the pastor's, actually his house. We went to his house to eat. It seemed like the widest living room I'd ever sat in. Like he's sitting like way back there and I'm sitting way over here on another chair. And he said, what you preach tonight? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, you mean, yeah. He said, what you preach? I said, yeah. He said, is that what Brother Hagin preaches? I said, yeah, that's what Brother Hagin preaches. He said, that's just the word of God. I said, yes, sir. Amen. But see, I had looked on his, before I went out to preach out in the auditorium, I'm back there in his office. He said, I'll just leave you alone a few minutes if you want to come out. And so I'm looking, and I'm just walking around praying. And I walked over to his bookshelf and I'm looking at the books he's reading and stuff. I didn't recognize a lot of them, but I looked at his statement of faith, the church's statement of faith. Uh-huh. Boom, 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 boom. I read every one of them exactly what our statement of faith
wow.
is.
Praise
see,
God.
They believed it on paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, it's not enough to believe it on paper.
Right.
We believe in being led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to just believe it on paper.
Yeah.
What do you believe? Well, down there at the church, we believe in being led by the Holy Ghost. But we believe in the inner witness. We believe in following God in the inner witness.
Yeah.
Well, it's good if you believe that on paper. It's good if you have it on the statement of faith or something like that. But do you practice it? Do you check your spirit before you make decisions? Amen. Well, I want to kind of refresh you a little bit on that, but really I just want to focus on a particular aspect of this because of how the Lord dealt with me about this. In practice, when life throws things at you, you realize that life throws things at you. Or the devil, he'll just throw things at you. When things are thrown at you, do you really do this? Do you dip and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Or what verses should I stand on? Or what's the direction? I got to make a decision here. What's the decision I need to make?
Yeah.
Is that really your practice? You understand what I'm talking about? And do you do it under pressure from family members? Huh? What did he say, Myrtle? I said, do you do it? Do you do it all the time? Do we believe in doing this? Just certain things, but not everything.
All right now.
No, everything. 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 All the decisions of life. Maybe not whether to stop at the stoplight, but you know what I'm talking about. All the decisions of life. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Check your spirit. What's the witness of the spirit? Somebody said, I don't know. I don't know what the witness of the spirit. Well, it's down there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is.
And we need to learn to check that. And I was led tonight to do a little pastoral preaching. And to teach about and talk about practicing this under pressure whenever either circumstances or other things are pressuring you. But primarily the Lord started talking to me about pressure from family members or other people. Let's just put it other people. You understand? Because people will put pressure on you. Tell you, this is what you ought to do, this is what you ought to do. Now, I'm not talking about parents with children, you understand? I'm primarily talking about adults. So we'll just make that clear as we go here. But whenever they try to pressure you to do certain things, do you only do what you're led to do? You read through Jesus' ministry. Jesus started this this lifestyle as a young man. And you see, for example, he didn't go into the Holy Ghost didn't come on him until he was 30 years old. And you know that he knew way before 30 years old what he was called for, what he was born for, who he was. Right? I mean, at 12 years old, he said to his parents, remember, they lost him in the crowd and thought he was in the crowd and then found out he wasn't and went back and found him back there. 12 years old, talking to the Pharisees or the scribes and the doctors of the law. And they said, my goodness, where have you been? He said, well, I should be about my father's business, shouldn't I? See, he knew who his father was.
Yes.
He knew he's born of God. He knew he's the son of God.
Right.
He knew what he's here for.
Yes.
He found himself in the Word.
Yes.
Amen. And he's on assignment, and yet he's 29, or growing up, gets to be 20, 21. You know, everybody starts everything at 21.
Yeah.
22, 23. You know the devil was saying, listen, you know the devil was saying, what are you doing?
Exactly.
This, he's making tables, working for his dad.
Yeah.
Making, you know, he's a carpenter.
Yeah.
You weren't born for this.
Come on.
You know there was pressure.
Yes.
Even we have record of his brothers saying, well, if you're born to do all this, get out there and get it done.
Yeah, come on.
We have record of some of the things.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Yeah.
And yet 26, 27, 28, and you know the devil's pressuring him. And people are pressuring him. You know his mother believed in him, and there's even record that she's pressuring him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
28, 29, the devil. You know the devil's just hounding him.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You're wasting time.
Come on,
you know, this isn't what you were born for.
Come on.
You know that. And but he's resisting all of that because it's not time.
Yes.
He's not led.
Amen.
But then at 30 years old, John the Baptist starts preaching.
Yeah.
And he went to be baptized and the Holy Ghost came on him.
Yes.
And within 3 years, he turned this world. He spun this world the different direction.
That's right.
Hallelujah. 3.5 years. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No, he wasn't going to yield to that pressure. He started that pattern. He started that way of living at a young age. But then you look through his earthly ministry, he carried that style of living over into his earthly ministry. You see people come, you see people say, like for example, they came and they told Jesus, they said, this is in John chapter number 11, I think it starts in verse number 6. They came and told Jesus, they said, Lazarus, his name's Lazarus, I think they didn't say his name, but it was Lazarus, whom thou lovest is sick. And they wanted them to come right away because it was bad.
Yeah.
And he stayed where he was 4 more days.
Yeah.
He wasn't moved by the pressure of circumstances. Other times people would come pressure him. Come, ere my child, lay your hands on my child, ere my child die. And he didn't go right away.
Right.
You can see through his, he didn't live by pressure. He wasn't frantic.
Amen.
He was led.
Hallelujah.
Tell your neighbor, he was led. And that's what we're needing to learn to do. I tell you, I preached this message and the Word of Faith, message of faith here for 22, something like that. And I just get amazed at people that still, something comes up. I say that in love because, and I see, and it gets old watching people forget about being led whenever circumstances or pressure or family is telling them, you got to do something. You got to do something. It's urgent. You got to do something. What if you're not led to do something? Yeah, but my family wants me to. Well, you're about to open the door to the devil. I didn't say your family was the devil. You understand what I'm talking about? Anytime you're overriding this, you're not going to be doing what you're getting ready to do in faith. Now, the Amplified says here in Romans 8, chapter number 8, verse number 16, because King James says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the Amplified says assuring our spirits. Assuring means it makes us certain that we're doing the right thing. Yes. Assure is a faith word.
Yes. Yes.
So whenever you have the inner witness, you can do something in faith.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
But if you don't have the inner witness, you can't do it in faith. Yes. And anything that's not of faith opens the door to the devil because that's how you resist him in your faith.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah, but I don't know what to do. Then don't do anything.
Amen.
Hear me.
Amen.
But I've thought about doing this, and I was going to do that, but I'm not sure. Now I thought about doing this, and I don't know what to do. Then don't do anything.
Don't do anything.
Wait, stop, hold on.
Amen.
Isaiah 28, what is it, 16 or 14, somewhere in there. I'd have to look it up. I got it in my nose. But it says, he that believeth shall not make haste.
That's good. That's good.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Cool your britches.
Amen.
I'm talking by the Holy Ghost tonight.
Amen.
But I don't know what to do. I don't have any leading. Well, no leading is a leading.
Yeah.
What is the leading? If I don't have a leading, what is the leading? The leading is to do nothing.
That's it. Amen.
I graduated from Rhema, went to 2 years of Bible school at Rhema and graduated. And, you know, by the end of the second half, really, maybe the last quarter, especially, of the second year of Rhema.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody's making their plans because after school's out, most of them, whoo, they're going out to preach the gospel, you know, or go be a youth minister or something. And so, I mean, that starts at the third or fourth quarter of the second year. There's a hum. Everybody's talking. I'm going to be over here to be a youth minister. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go start a church in this city or whatever. And everybody's excited, you know. And so, I mean, you know, everybody's talking and saying where they're going. I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? I mean, I hadn't thought about it. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I started praying. I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, okay. Then go to the next day. Lord, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Okay, next day. Lord, what am I supposed to do? You know, and I'm getting under pressure because people are asking me, what are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do after graduation? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It doesn't sound very spiritual to say, I don't know.
Come on, sir. Come on.
So I better find out.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you a true story.
Yes, sir.
It's not just made up to sound good. It's a true story.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So I said, Lord, I need to know what to do. Chirp, 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 chirp. Crickets. That's all I got. So finally I said, Lord, you're not saying anything. He said, you're not telling me what to do. He said, because I want you to just stay here. See, no direction is direction.
There you go.
Well, I don't know what to do. I don't have any leading. Everybody else is doing this, but I don't have any leading to that. Well, they're not your leading. Your leading is what's in your spirit. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin said this. He said, I go as much by what the Holy Ghost doesn't say as what he does say.
Amen.
That'll save you a whole lot of trouble. Well, I've been praying, telling God, I need to do something.
Come on.
That's your problem. That you're telling him what you need to do, and you need to hear what he's telling you to do.
Amen.
But he's not telling me anything. Okay, then don't do anything.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
When I finally settled in, because I kind of skipped over part of that story. When the Lord just wasn't saying anything to me, I just kind of said, well, okay, I'm just going to do what I know to do. Not make anything up. And just wait and see if he's going to say something to me. I'm an intelligent being. He's an intelligent being. He wants to talk to me. He can talk to me.
Right. Amen.
Obviously, he didn't want to say anything to me. So that's whenever I settled in and just stopped pressuring the Lord about it, that it came clear, I want you to stay here. I don't want you to go anywhere right now. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
That's direction.
Yes, sir. That's good.
That's direction. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we need to talk about this tonight because it gets a little old watching people override their spirit and grieve the Holy Ghost. And somebody said, what do you mean override their spirit? Well, have you ever thought about the fact that other people have the Holy Ghost too? And if everybody, let's just take an example. I don't know of anybody in the church like this right now, but I'll use it as an illustration, just as an example. But if you're saying that you have peace about marrying that girl or boy, whatever, and everybody that's somewhat spiritual in the church that you say something to them, whenever you say something to them, they go, you know, they have the Holy Ghost too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, we're not trying to tell everybody what to do, but if it shocks them. You might want to check if you're really sensing the Holy Ghost. And here's somebody that really maybe you ought to pay attention to is what your pastor seems to be saying.
Amen.
Now, we're not the Holy Ghost. Don't misunderstand me at all. We don't guide people's lives.
Amen.
I told somebody the other day, I have no desire, no desire to tell people what to do. But sometimes I know they do that. It's going to be heartache. And very seldom. Somebody said, do you always tell them? Very seldom.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I'll get a prompting, say something, because that's going to, whenever they crash and burn, it's going to affect their faith so bad, it's going to take them a long time to recover. So I warn them.
Yes,
sir. Come on.
And there's people here that could testify to that and thank me for it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Save a lot of heartache.
Yes.
You know, you can do great damage to your faith.
Absolutely.
Just doing something. Well, God hadn't really, I don't know if this is right or not. I'll just see. And just launch out into something. That can do great damage to your faith. And thank God for mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy? Because we've all needed mercy. But I'd just rather not have to live on mercy. I mean, mercy sort of has a way of robbing everything that God blessed you with, and you got to start all over again. I mean, missing it, and then needing mercy. It has a way of just sort of robbing everything God, all the blessings you were gathering up. And then, you know, it just sort of has a way of causing all of it to kind of go by the wayside. You got to start over again. I don't want to live that way. Miss it, start over again. Miss it, start over again. Get to the end of my life, and I got to take up an offering to bury me.
Come on now. No, sir.
I don't want to live that way. Tell your neighbor you don't have to live that way. Well, praise the Lord. All right. So we need to get into this because it's not fun watching people just plunge off into heartache. And more than that, not only the heartache, but it causes people to keep flunking spiritually and not progress spiritually. It damages their faith. It affects their fellowship with God.
That's right.
And so we're going to get into this. All right.
Yes, sir.
And really what happens is people, whenever they do things and they keep overriding their spirit and they start spinning their wheels and things aren't working.
Yes, sir.
Whether it be the blessings of God or whatever, just aren't working.
Yeah.
Life isn't progressing. The plan of God isn't progressing.
Yeah.
Then people get discouraged.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And then after they get discouraged, then they blame the word or blame God or blame us.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, that faith stuff doesn't work. You can't exercise faith apart from the leading of the Spirit. You can't separate faith from being led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
No, faith does work. It's just that you keep overriding the leading of your spirit to please people.
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Please people, please family. Why? Because they keep messing up. And they keep coming to you for a bailout.
Come on.
And help.
Come on.
Now, you say, aren't we supposed to be compassionate? Generally speaking, yes. But be led. There is a category of people, not everybody. Don't misunderstand me. Some people, they get in a pickle, and that's not because, you know, of their heart issues and their disobedience. It's just that something happened, and you can be a great blessing to people, and they'll get over that, and they'll be grateful, and they'll go on with God. But there's some people, you can bail them out from now until they die, and they don't have a heart to go on with God.
That's right.
They're not interested in going on with God.
That's right.
They have a track record that they're not going to go on with God.
Yes, sir.
And you keep bailing them out because they come pouting and crying, got tears. You keep bailing them out, and you're perpetuating their problem. You're perpetuating their problem. See, God hasn't called you. I'm talking about adult children now. I'm not talking about young children. I'm talking about adult children. God hasn't called you to mitigate the harvest off of their choices. The devil takes advantage of people's loving desire to help people because they love God and they love people. And he uses that to burden their faith. He uses that to keep distracting them. And he uses that to keep their faith loaded down to where there's none left for their own life and the plan of God for their own life. Now, you understand the way I'm saying this. I'm not talking about, you know, somebody that's not just continually doing their own plan, but they love God and they just needed some help, you know. And you can be a blessing, you know.
Yes,
but I'm talking about people that they're just, where their answer is not a bailout.
Right.
Yes. I'm talking about people, their answer is to repent.
Yes. All right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I hope you understand the difference because what I'm talking about. I think we all understand what I'm saying, and I'm not saying don't be a blessing to people. We're blessings to people.
Yes, sir.
I've gotten myself in pickles before. I've had people help me, and I was thankful for it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But it wasn't a heart issue. It was just a dumb head issue.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll talk about me. Amen. And so, but the devil will try to burden your faith down to where you don't have any faith left for the plan of God for yourself.
Come on.
And more people frustrate their faith trying to use it for relatives than any other thing.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've been around the block for a few times, and I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
You don't owe anybody in your family a moment of disobedience to a leading of the Spirit.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, why don't you, family, whoever, somebody said, why won't you do this? I'm not led.
Yes.
If that's not good enough for them, then they're not, then the Bible's not good enough for them.
Yeah, come on. So good.
Amen.
Amen.
You really don't need to explain to anybody, really, to be honest, what you're led to do. I mean, why you're led to do something or why you're not doing something. Amen. Tell your neighbor, that's good preaching. You don't owe anybody a moment of disobedience to the leading of the Spirit, especially if they're carnal and they wanted you to clean up their harvest from living in the flesh. And they just want to keep living that way. Not talking about people that, you know, anybody can mess up and we can be compassionate and help. But people, you can drain all your faith, all your energy, all your time trying to carry other people.
Yeah, so true.
And, you know, mitigate the consequences of their own actions and their own heart issues. And do that for their whole life. Get to the end of their life and you didn't help them squat. Your reward for doing will be the big at the throne of grace will be a big fat zero.
Yeah.
Big fat goose egg.
Yeah.
Poke your neighbor and say he's preaching better than your amen. Amen. Some people have no desire to live another way. Talking about adults, you understand. Their answer is repentance. Not what you can do for them. Amen. Tell your neighbor that's good. That's good preaching. And so don't fall for people's manipulations. Don't fall for their tears, their emotions. You know, anybody can be, and I say this lovingly, I understand. I don't want anybody laughing or anything. I'm just saying it lovingly. Anybody can fall for this, but it seems like females can fall for this. I'm not trying to gang up on females. But I watch some of you ladies, and your family just sort of makes you a financial prostitute. I'm not trying to be vulgar, but I think you get the point. Just using you and abusing you. And so you think you're going to save them from their harvest without a heart change, and you're not. God himself can't do some things for some people unless they decide they're going to make some changes. Right? So if he can himself do it, somebody said, well, he can do anything. Well, he doesn't make anybody do anything. But if he can't himself do it, then what makes you think that you can help them by your efforts of the flesh against the leading of the Spirit? And the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Well, you're saying I shouldn't be helping my family? Well, I didn't say that just blanket. I'm talking about a certain category of people. I didn't say it blanket, number one. But number two, the Bible says be led. Do we believe in being led?
Yes, sir.
You said a moment ago you do.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you're honest and you do believe in that.
Yes.
Then do you believe it whenever you're under pressure from people?
Come on.
Manipulation from people who want you to keep bailing them out for the 14th time.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
No. Do you believe in being led? Well, if you check your spirit on some of this, whenever you cave and give in, it bothers your spirit. See, you grieve the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I mean, they're my family or they're my kids. I'm talking about adult kids, you understand? They're my kids. And your point? Your point? You said you believe in being led.
Right.
Well, they have needs. A need is not a leading. You could empty your bank account if you drove home tonight before you got past two. You see enough need before you drive past two blocks the streets.
Yeah.
Enough need to empty out everything you've got. And you hardly did anything.
Come on.
This is good preaching.
Most of those people will be right back in the trouble they were in after they got what you need, what you gave them.
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks, they'll be right back where they were.
Yeah.
Their need is not finances. That's the you're trying to fix the fruit without dealing with the root.
That's right.
Amen. So you know, God himself, it can't do certain things. I know that's people can't hardly understand that. But the Bible says, Psalm 78:41, they turned back and limited God or tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. People limit God.
That's right.
Amen. And guess what? The Bible says over in 1 Peter 3, I believe it's verse 7, husbands and wives dwell together according to knowledge, so forth, lest your prayers be hindered.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody, let's take me. Let's say if I hinder my prayers, do you know you can't unhinder them?
That's right. Amen, amen.
If I hinder my prayers, you can't unhinder them with your prayer life.
That's right.
Well, I love them. What do I do? Pray, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about being unkind to people. I'm not talking about being hard. You can gently and lovingly say, you know, well, I'm not going to help you this time. I'm not talking about fighting. I'm not talking about anything like that. And they might fuss. They might get emotional. They might try to manipulate. They might put pressure on you, make you feel bad. Well, you're not even a good Christian and so forth and so on. Well, good Christians don't perpetuate the problem. Tell your neighbor, that's right. And so you can't necessarily do that by the efforts of the flesh. Remember Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. So if you try to jump up in the flesh and do something, everything you put your hand to will be in vain in some of these situations. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is good pastoral preaching tonight. This is called perpetuating the problem. Perpetuating the problem. And so you're really keeping them from learning their lesson. That the way of the transgressor is hard.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't try to ease that hardness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't know if you heard that or not. See, you're trying to ease something that is hard because they're transgressions. So, now, 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. My goodness. Look at the time already. You know I have 20 pages of notes on this tonight? No, I'm not going to do them all. But anyway, so 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, as this, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive," that means fight, "but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness," teaching, patience, meekness. Look at those words. Those are good words. "Instructing those that oppose themselves." You know, some people are their own worst enemy. They're opposing themselves. The devil's fighting me and opposing me. No, you're opposing yourself. You need, what do you need to get past that, that opposing yourself instruction? "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, it peradventure God will give them repentance." Remember, I said that's their way out. "To the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover
themselves.
Themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will."
Right.
There's some things the only way out is repentance.
Yeah. Right.
Confession isn't the way out. Right?
Yeah.
You keep bailing them out financially is not their way out.
Yeah, that's right.
When I say confession, I'm saying the Lord supplies all my needs kind of confession. You know, prayer, your prayer life isn't their way out. I mean, I'm not saying don't pray for them. You can't, but you pray for them according to the word.
That's right. That's right.
And there's some things there's no other way out.
That's right.
And so your handout won't fix what repentance will fix. Praise the Lord. If we believe in being led by the Spirit, if we believe Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all the heart and lean not to your own understanding." We believe that, right?
Yes.
If we believe that, then that means to be led means there's some things we're not led from, not led by. And that would be needs, opportunities, you know, it could be pressure from people.
Right.
We're not led by certain things. If we're led by the inner witness, remember Colossians 3, 16, is it? 15 maybe, where it talks about, the Amplified says, "Let the peace of God rule, act as an umpire in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your heart and mind." Let that peace rule. In other words, let it decide and settle with finality. See, that's where people miss it.
Yes, amen.
They get in prayer and settle it. "No, God, I know I'm just not going to be able to help them. I know it would grieve your spirit. I know that's not going to cure their real problem.
Right.
I know I'm perpetuating it. So I settle it."
Yeah.
And then they get around their family again and they start putting pressure on them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and they start feeling sorry for them.
Yeah.
"No, you didn't settle it."
Right. Come on. So good.
Deciding and settling.
With all finality.
Yeah. Amen. You know, you hear us say things like this, and it sounds like Pastor Debbie and I must be hard-nosed. No, we give a lot of things to a lot of people. There's a lot of people that aren't in this category that I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Right? And so be like Jesus. Only do what you're led to do. Don't be led by pressure. Don't. Amen? Okay, so one thing that means to be led is that there's some things you don't follow.
That's right.
There's some things you don't follow, right? Including what I'm talking about, this pressure thing. "Yeah, but we're friends." "Yeah, but you're my mama."
Yeah.
And your point? There was a period of time in your life, let's say you are their mama. Let's say you are their daddy. There was a period of time in their life, in their growing up stages, that you were responsible for them.
Yes.
But they went out on their own.
Come on.
Come on.
Now, I'm not talking about, see, you understand, I want to keep saying this because people misunderstand me. I'm not talking about good people want to do the plan of God, but they just get themselves in a pickle. Sure, help them, bless them. You know, I'm talking about people, they just are rebellious and they don't want to do what the way you trained them. They don't want to go that direction. They want to do their own thing. And then they want mama's hands out.
Amen.
Amen. Now, somebody said, well, what if I'm led to hand to help them? Well, then you follow that.
That's right.
Because it could, the goodness of God leads people to repentance.
Yes.
It could bring them around. But you have to be led.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You have to be led. And if the Lord leads you, they'll get something will come out of that. But you know as well as I do that if it keeps happening, eventually you'll start losing peace.
Right.
So everybody say the message is be led. And so one thing you can't be led by if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit is people's pressure and manipulation. But we're family. And your point? You're an adult now.
Yeah.
Right? So there are grown children that the enemy uses to impoverish some people, to hold them in lack. Right? They keep asking and keep asking, and the parents just keep on giving and keep on giving because they think, well, they're my kids, I need to. Well, you need to kick them out of the nest and get them off the bottle. That's what they need. Well, that's not what they want. Well, what they want is going to be something different than what they need.
That's good preaching. Amen.
Again, I'm talking about adults, right? I'm talking about people that just don't want to do the word. They've had every chance to. They were raised to do the word. Amen. Well, they want to move back into my house. Oh, really? So praise the Lord. If you listen to the Lord a lot of times, the Lord will say, if you get quiet, see, you got to get quiet. You got to get away from the manipulation. And you got to settle it and get it clear on the inside. And if you get quiet, there'll be times the Lord will say, no. Yeah, but they're my kids. Is that greater than the leading of the Lord?
No, sir.
But I know I can help them. Oh, you know better than the Lord?
All right.
He said no. If he did. But if he did, he said no. And you're smarter than him, huh? Well, I know I can help him. No, he said no. Are you going to listen to him? Or cave to the pressure? If you listen inside sometimes whenever you cave, you grieve the Holy Ghost. And now you got something between you and the Lord.
That's it.
It's going to affect your fellowship. So, praise the Lord. You mean I just let them go hungry? The Lord is. That hits on some of you. Finally got it right there. The Lord is letting them be hungry. Obviously, he's not bailing them out. And you're smarter than he knows that he can't help them, but you know you can because you're much better than him. You're more righteous than him. You're more loving than him. You're smarter than God. You can do what God can't do. I'll be leaving right after this and eating a fine meal. Amen. You mean I'll let them go hungry? The Lord is letting them go hungry. Why don't you let them go hungry? Why is the Lord letting them go hungry? Because it was their choice. Because they need to, and why should you let them go hungry? Because they need to learn to look to him instead of you.
That's right.
Amen. Look to him instead of you.
Yes.
Or their problem will never get fixed.
Yes.
Let's stop weed whacking the problem and let's kill the root.
Yes.
You ever get a weed grow up in your, you know, the crack in your driveway? It's real easy. But weed whack. Guess what? Next week you're going to have to do it again. That's the way some family members are. You're just going to have to keep doing it again. Because the root's still there. Amen. You mean I'm supposed to let them go hungry or live on the street? Or their babies don't have any food? Where'd you get that wine? You heard them talking wine, didn't you? Well, praise the Lord. That went over like a lead balloon. God wants to fix the real and cure the thing from the root down on the inside. I remember as a young Christian, just starting to learn to walk by faith, I got myself, before we were married, got myself in a bad pickle. And I asked somebody to help me in the family. And they said, no. Boy, I got kind of hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
To this day, I kiss their feet. Because it made me learn to trust God. You know, when I went to Bible school, when I left, my brother gave me some money. I don't remember how much it was, $500. I don't think it was even $500. But anyway, nobody from my family supported me. Nobody paid my rent.
Come on.
Nobody paid for Bible school.
Yes, sir.
Nobody asked, are you hungry?
Come on.
In fact, they came out to visit me one time and saw I was real thin and asked, are you eating well? I said, well, I'm eating Ramen noodles.
Yeah.
And you know, they barely bought me anything.
Come on.
And when we went out to eat, we paid Dutch.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what Dutch is? They paid their meal, I paid mine. That's the way I was raised. My daddy didn't buy my first car, and he didn't pay the insurance or the gas.
Come on, sir.
Said, man, make a rough family. I thank God for it. Woo, thank God. I had to trust God.
Yeah, that's so good.
Amen.
I'm not teaching you to raise your family. You do whatever you're led to do. But I'm just telling you that I had to learn to trust God.
Amen.
Because he knew where I was going. He knew if I don't learn to trust God, I'm not going to finish my course.
Amen.
You know, people, they brag about being a faith person until they, you know, until the boogeyman says boo. And then they're like, somebody help me. Somebody help me. Faith man. You're kind of rough. Well, a couple of months ago, I told you about some of the things the church went through.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And I was kind of boohooing to God. He said, you know what he said to me? He said, toughen up.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said. I heard it. Toughen up.
Wow.
Life isn't always fun.
Thanks.
Toughen up. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, he's in a bad mood today. So I got out of bed and I toughened up.
Yeah.
And guess what? We got more money in the bank today than we've ever had. I'm talking about the church.
Yes, that's right.
When it's going gets tough, the tough get going. Turn to your neighbor and say, toughen up. No more whining around here. Amen. We're not bringing any cheese to church to go along with your wine. Oh, I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. God wants to fix the root. Tell your neighbor, God wants to fix the root. Amen. So don't be led by knees. Don't be led by crying. Don't be led by pitiful stories. Don't be led by pressure. Be led by the inner witness and the inner peace. Amen. Now, to do that's going to take some strength.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. It's going to take some real whoopspah.
Because
that pressure comes, you're going to have to prepare yourself before they stand before you again and do their little spiel. You're going to have to say, sweetie, you know I love you. You know I've raised you. You know I've done this for you. You know I love you. But I can't do it anymore. Right? Well, what if they're on the street? Well, God will let them go on the street.
Amen.
The way of the transgressor is hard.
Yes. Amen.
But I'll tell you, that's not a very good school. It's not the way God plans to train people. But if you can learn, if that's the only way you can learn, then at least you learned. Amen.
Amen.
So you're going to have some strength about you. And you're going to have to humble yourself and acknowledge that you're not smarter than God whenever he just, in your spirit, he just doesn't let you do it anymore. Because whenever he says no, no more. But what if they rebel against God? They're not, they already rebelled against God. I don't want to be the reason for that. No, you don't. But you're not if you're being led. If you're being led, you're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord say, why didn't you help them? If you're being led, you won't do that. Amen. So you're going to have to humble yourself, acknowledge you're not smarter than God. By the way, some people act, they think they are. And that's just pride.
Amen.
Well, they're my kids. Well, God gave you stewardship over them in your house. Once they grew up and left, somebody said, are they not still my kids? Yeah, but that main assignment's over. Right? They belong to him now.
That's right.
Right, so tell your neighbor, they belong to him now. And he knows the best way to deal with them. And you can say with all loving and kindness, gently, I'm just not led to do anything anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, what are they going to do? Well, they got the same source you have. They got the same God who's waiting with outstretched arms for them to respond to him. Amen. And their source is not you. Praise God. And so they're going to have to look to the Lord. They're going to have to learn to trust him. They're going to have to learn to obey him. They're going to have to learn to cut off the appetites of the flesh and say yes to God.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, the Lord, they start making some of those choices. The Lord will start probably start prompting you. Now you get in there and show them how much I want to take care of them.
Amen.
Right? Amen. So it's not you being mean. It's that you're weaning their dependence off of you and the wrong, you as the wrong source.
Amen.
Right? Praise God. So if you continue to help them, you're going to perpetuate the problem.
That's right.
So say it out loud. I refuse to be led by pressure.
I refuse to be led
by pressure.
Hallelujah.
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 There were so many things I had to say. But when you override the leading of the Spirit within your spirit and try to help some people sometimes when he's telling you not to, that's going to get between you and God.
That's right.
Because now you're not helping him. You're helping the devil.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. And so that's going to have to be removed. It'll affect your fellowship. It'll affect your faith. It'll affect your moving forward with God. And you'll start getting discouraged because it's not working. Moses, I'll just wrap some things up here. You can look at a couple of different sections of scripture, Deuteronomy 8:15 and Numbers 21, 6 through 7. You'll see that the Lord had been keeping fiery serpents out of the camp, but then the Israelites murmured and complained and rebelled against God. And the Bible said these fiery serpents got in. So they broke down the hedge. Do you know what Moses didn't do? He didn't say, well, let's send in medical teams with anti-venom.
Come on now.
Well, so you say, well, shouldn't we do something like that? I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm saying this is not what God told Moses to do. The Bible said that the people came to Moses when they realized what they did, and they repented. And God said, okay, Moses, here's what you do. And he told him, put up the serpent on the pole. That's where we got that story, the serpent on the pole. Remember that?
Amen.
So, this is not popular today.
Yes.
Our culture doesn't like the responsibility being on them.
Right.
If it's not working out, it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
I use this illustration sometimes because it's just kind of apropos of what our culture is like. If I go to McDonald's and I get coffee and I burn my lips on the hot coffee, I'm going to sue McDonald's. No, dumb. It's you that didn't go... I wasn't raised that way. I tripped on your farm, so I'm going to make you pay the bill. I wasn't raised that way. Grow up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, tell your neighbor that's good preaching tonight, even though he didn't get it all out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've learned a long time ago that there's different kind of crying. Yeah, but they must be repentant. They're crying. Some people are crying just because the consequences caught up with them. And they just want to start crying because it hurts. They're not crying out of repentance. You got to know the different kinds of cry. All parents know different kinds of cry, right? There's crying because they got caught. There's crying because they, you know. And then there's a real true, I'm sorry, I did it wrong. How many of you know you respond totally different to different kinds of cries? Right? Praise God. And so there's a kind of crying that's just yielding one's emotions, trying to manipulate people because of the consequences, because they got caught, because the consequences caught up with them. But some of these people have no intention of changing anything. They just want to stop hurting. They don't want a cure. They just want to stop hurting. Amen. Learn true repentance. Learn what it looks like. Learn what it sounds like. Practice it in your own life and find out what God will do for a person that genuinely humbles themselves. And I'm telling you, he'll rush to humility. He'll rush to repentance. He'll move in ways that'll just baffle people's minds. Right? Come on, somebody. I've learned a long time ago that if you love somebody, you're willing to risk being misunderstood in order to help them. Anybody ever been there yet? So learn that and learn to follow the Spirit. Learn not to yield to the pressure and let God work on people the way he wants them to be worked on. Hallelujah. Well, that's enough for tonight. I could say a whole lot more. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it takes more faith to do nothing than it does to do something.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you understand that statement or not.
Yes, sir.
It takes more faith to just trust God to work it out for them. You know, bring them to the place where they acknowledge him and make the adjustments than it does, well, I'll just hand them $100 bill. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet. If you still love Pastor, say, I love Pastor anyhow. You heard what we said over and over again. I'm not talking about every case, right? Come on, somebody. I've had people that we have helped and helped and helped and helped in this church. And then, no, we're just not going to do it anymore. You know what they did? They left the church. You know where they are today? Worse than they were. Nothing we did changed anything. Amen. That's not everybody. You understand the way I'm saying that's not everybody, but I'm just talking about some people. I have helped people's kids. I have paid people's rent, and I've done it over and over again. And they start feeling like you're obligated to do this. When I start sensing that, it's like, no way. No, see, you're making me your source. And that's hindering you growing up. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Love's not always feel good, you know. Sometimes it can be tough love, right?
Amen.
And that's scriptural.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. I've had the Lord be tough on me, and I'm thankful. You know, how many of you know over there in, what is it, Hebrews chapter number 12, it talks about, love corrects. Right? And I've had the Lord correct me at times. He says, and be real straight. And it's not always, at the time, later on, it's always, thank you, Jesus. But at the time, it's not always easy. It's like, oh, okay, all right, praise the Lord. But it made me grow.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't want to be stroked. Do you?
No, sir.
I don't want to be stroked.
No.
I want to be told what's the real answer to this.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. And like what a good friend of mine said one time. He said, you know, if you stroke the cat, if you're stroking the cat and it's, you're stroking the cat backwards, he said that cat can turn around anytime it wants.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, because you stroke a cat backwards, they go, you know, just to... You ever done that to a family member? You stroke them, you stroke them against their fur, and
yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Just, just tell them. You can turn around. If the way I'm stroking you doesn't, you don't like it, you can turn around anytime you want. Hallelujah. Anyway, tell your neighbor we're toughening up now. Praise God. Will God meet a person of faith? Every time. Will he meet a person who humbles himself and says, truth, Lord, I know what you're dealing with me is right. Will he meet him? Oh, you better believe it. And he might even deal with you. Okay, now you get in there and you help them out. God knows people's hearts. And he'll tell you, something's changed. Something's changed. They truly humbled themselves. And he'll have you help. So I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. You understand? Pastor's a loving guy, right? Some of you didn't know what to say there, but that's all right. Glory!